My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
There you go. Amen? Well, now each and every one of you can play the piano or play a tune. You should be able to. But this morning we're going to be speaking on joy of the world. And the reason why I'm going to be speaking joy of the world is that in every morning the guys meet here in the back room there and they pray. They pray for you. They pray for the church. They pray for this whole organisation and things that are going on in the world. And one of the big things that have been really permeating these guys, these men of prayer in the morning and women of prayer, is the word joy. And they've been coming to me and they've been saying, "I really believe joy is the thing. Joy, joy." And I said, "Well, okay, I'll be preaching on joy to the world on Christmas morning." And in this Christmas season in particular, as we sing songs like "Joy to the World," it's hard not to be joyful, especially if you truly know the reason for the season. Today I want to talk to you about the Christmas story as from the perspective of joy. Both the joy that originally brought to our world and the continuous joy that is available for everyone who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. So let's begin. For the Jewish people, the wait for the coming Messiah had been a long and difficult time. Their nation had been taken captive many times, and their history was one of both years of triumph as well as many of years of slavery. From the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi, God promised and prophesied that the Messiah was on his way, the deliverer that they had hoped for. Yet day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, the Messiah never came. And to top it off, by the time we reach the New Testament era, the people of Israel had not heard a single word from God for over 400 years. Now, I'm sure that some were beginning to doubt God's promises. Others were most likely wondering if they had done something to cause the Messiah's delay, while still others had held hope out that he would arrive on the scene any day. And something very similar has taken place in most of our lives. While most of us do not have a Jewish heritage and perhaps don't even understand what it is we've been missing, there is a sense of delay in our lives before we come into a relationship with the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. You know, we are longing for that joy that can only come as a gift from God. In fact, I'm convinced that without Christ in your life, you cannot experience joy to its fullest extent. Now, you can be happy. We can all be happy. You can have a good time. We can all have a good time. And you can enjoy life to a certain extent, but you cannot experience joy at its deepest, most satisfactory level until you know Jesus as Lord and as your Savior. The good news for us is that joy is available to us as a free gift from God. The delay of joy was over for the Jewish people who believed 2,000 years ago, and the delay can be over for us that first time we place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus told his disciples of his love for them, and then he said in John 15:11, I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Now, if you don't know that joy today, please keep listening because I've got some more I want to tell you. Like the discovery of joy. Now, the first Christmas, the angel appeared to the shepherds in the field and he said in Luke chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of what? Of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, when the angel of Gabriel visited Mary and told her that she would give birth to the Messiah, she ran to tell her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant also. And Elizabeth said in Luke chapter 1:44, when you came in and greeted me, my baby jumped for joy the instant I heard your voice. Now, only a mother can understand that. Us blokes, we can't really understand the baby jumping inside the mum. But I think all you mums can know when a baby jumps, yeah? After the infant Jesus was circumcised, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple where they ran into a prophet named Simeon. And Simeon took the baby into his arms and prayed a blessing upon him. And then he turned to Mary and said, this child will be rejected by many in Israel. Nice guy. Just what you want to hear. And it will be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others. How awesome would that be, hearing that after you've just heard the other thing? Now, are you noticing a pattern here? Everyone who is receptive to Jesus Christ the Messiah becomes filled with joy. Those that discovered him 2,000 years ago experienced it, and it's no different for those who discover him today. Once a man named Zacchaeus, have we got any Zacks in the room this morning? Oh, we do. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. He was much despised by the other Jews. He wasn't a very nice guy. But he climbed into a tree so that he could hear Jesus speak. And Jesus looked up to Zacchaeus and invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 6, it says, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down the tree and took him to his house with great excitement and joy. I mean, if I came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to come around to your house now for dinner, would you be really excited? You'd be thinking, gee, if I clean the house, is the toilet clean? Is the, you know, or five kids, you've got to think the toilet. But when Zacchaeus placed his faith in Jesus, Jesus said this, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost. See, Jesus' mission on earth, both then and now, is to make himself known to those who have open hearts to discover him. His purpose is to seek out those who don't know him and reveal himself to them. Even on the cross, as Jesus hung there breathing his last breath, he turned to the repentant thief hanging next to him and said this, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus offers the same promise to those of us today who have discovered him. He promises paradise. He promises eternal life. He promises security for the future. He promises hope for tomorrow. And he offers peace of mind and everlasting joy. So Jesus makes the offer, but he leaves it up to us to choose whether we'll accept the offer or not. It's that simple. For those of us who have discovered Jesus, we experience the same joy as Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, and millions upon millions upon millions of people since his birth. And it isn't joy in the sense of a cheap laugh, or that we're always happy and always have smiles on our faces. It's the kind of joy that comes from having a deep-seated satisfaction and knowing that you are in an eternal relationship with the God of the universe. If you don't have that today, you can, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And then we go to the development of joy. You know, it's one thing to experience joy when you first become a Christian or if life is going great. But to be able to experience joy when tragedy or trials strike takes a level of maturity that has to be developed over time. James chapter 1 verse 2 and 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy." Easier said than done, isn't it? "For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything." You know, God never gives us guarantees that trials won't be part of our lives. I've known Christians who have had cancer, who have lost their children, who have been in horrible accidents, who have suffered every imaginable tragedy. And you know what? While I can give some theological answers for those, why those things take place, I'm not really satisfied with any of those answers myself. What can I say? What I can say is this, is that as difficult as it may seem, God can actually use these times of trial to bring joy into our lives. I've seen it and I've experienced it myself. Jesus didn't come on that first Christmas to remove every problem that we have, but he did come to equip us to deal with them in a way that would bring us joy. And James says that when our faith is tested and we endure the test, we begin to develop into joy-filled, mature Christ followers. Now, to endure the test and to overcome and to develop joy, we need to focus our lives on the Christ of Christmas, as well as the Christ of the cross and resurrection. One thing that helps me in this area is to place my focus on what Jesus himself has endured. I mean, it's great singing all the Christmas carols. I love singing all the Christmas carols. But you know what? One thing that I really believe that we miss a lot is the cross and the resurrection, especially at Christmas time. You might say, oh, that's for Easter. But you know what? Christmas is the real message of the gospel. It's the birth, and it is the cross, and it is the resurrection. That's why he came. You know, he left glory of heaven to live in an impoverished state of a sin-sick world. He came to save people from their sins, but most of them rejected him. In fact, they rejected him to the point that they had no qualms about having him nailed to the cross and crucified. Yet in the end, Jesus proved through his resurrection from the dead that God has the power to conquer anything and everything that would try and rob us of our joy. And after listening to many hardships he had to go through for the kingdom of God, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 6:10. He says, "Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything." See, Paul understood that the development of joy doesn't derive from the best of circumstances or the things that we have, but from having the presence of God in our lives is the main thing for each and every one of us. A lot of the gifts that you get today will probably be in the garage sale in 6 months or 12 months' time. Think about it. And the presence of God becomes known and developed by placing our trust in him, come what may. We finally get to this, the destination of joy. And I've shared this story before, and nearly 10 years ago, one morning, my then 4-year-old son Luca and I went out to Macca's. It was a father-son date. And I was pretty proud of my little boy. He looked a lot like me. But on the way, I turned to him and I said, "Mate, we've been talking about the Bible and God and everything. And I said, which way is heaven?" And he pointed up. He was like, "Yeah, Dad," pointed up. And he was so excited. And I was really excited. He goes, "Gee, my boy knows where heaven is." And I said, "Do you know where hell is?" And he, "Down there, Dad." I said, "Yes. That's good." And I was so impressed that he knew heaven and hell. And I said, "Mate, where are you going to go?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to Macca's." Sorry, Luca, I didn't ask if I could tell that story, but sometimes I think we have a focus more similar to what Luca had then. We tend to think of the temporal and what will bring us immediate pleasure. Just like some of you are excited to be going home to a place after this to receive more gifts and more presents and lollies and candy and... Yet the Christmas season should force us to contemplate much deeper things. And I guess that's why you're here this morning. So the God of the universe came to earth in the form of a human. He lived among us. He died for our sins, rose from the dead, and promised all that accept him as Lord will have eternal joy with him in heaven. And while we have to focus on the here and now, if we place some level of emphasis on what is to come, it will help us better deal with the here and now. And when I know that one day I will have the privilege and you will have the privilege to worship at the feet of the one who came on Christmas Day so many years ago, it helps me put my life leading up to that moment in a whole different perspective. Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica and he had this to say. He said, "What gives me hope and joy? And what is our proud reward and crown? It is you. You will bring as much joy as we stand together before the Lord Jesus when he comes back again. For you are our pride and joy." What an awesome encouragement to the people. So just imagine that. That's me speaking to you. What gives me joy, hope and joy? And what is our proud reward and crown? It is you, you people of Hillside this morning. You will bring as much joy as we stand together before the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back again. For you are our pride and joy. Now, he was talking about the eternal joy these Christians would share, not just with Christ, but with each other when they arrived at their final destination. And one of these days, we're going to be standing together, hand in hand, in front of our Saviour, worshipping together. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to hold hands. All right? Yeah, phew. We'll have plenty of time to do that in heaven, so why do it now? But unlike today, we will come before him with no sickness and no cares and no sin in our lives. The joy that we experience today in Christ, as great as it is, will pale into comparison to the joy that is our destiny. And I, for one, can't wait till that day becomes a reality for me and for all of us. Not that I want to take you out quickly, but I just can't wait for the day that we stand in front of our Lord and Saviour, sinless, no sickness, no, but just worshipping the Lord hand in hand. Can I have the music team up, please? Now, as I stand here and speak of joy to the world today, I know that there are some who aren't experiencing joy at this time. May I say to you today that while I don't claim to know everything that you're feeling, I do know that even in the midst of trial, joy can be yours. Just if you trust Jesus to get you through this time, I promise he will, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. I want to finish. We're going to sing, stand up and sing, and then we're going to finish with a wish you a Merry Christmas. And then after that, I want to pray a prayer over you all before we go out into this world. But I want you to be filled with joy. Let us stand. Let us pray. The day of joy returns, Father in heaven, and crowns another year with peace and goodwill. Lord, help us rightly to remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. Close the doors of hate and open the doors of love all over this place today. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires, with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessing and grace that Christ brings, and teach us to be merry with clean hearts. May today, Christmas Day, make us happy to be your children, and the Christmas evening bring us to our bed with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God richly bless you. Have a great and safe Christmas and a very, very happy new year. On behalf of Sally and myself and our family and Craig and Davinia and the elders, we just wish you a very merry and safe Christmas. Go out and enjoy yourself.